Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
17 tonight, Acts chapter 27. And you thought we were going backwards in our study in Acts, but we're not. We're going forward. So we're going to Acts chapter 27 this evening. And we are nearing the end of our study in Acts. And what we intend to do for the new year in the middle of the week is go back to our study in Psalms. And we'll do that for about as long as we can into 2018. So Acts chapter 27, and if you found your place and if you're willing and able, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 27, and let's stand together this evening out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Of course, we've been following the ministry of the Apostle Paul and all of his missionary journeys, and how God used him in each and every stop, each and every location, and how Paul had one great desire, and that was to preach Christ and him crucified. And that desire really pulling Paul, driving Paul, and Paul also having the desire, not just to preach Christ, but having the desire that all of his own countrymen should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, he had this desire to preach the gospel to those that were at Jerusalem. Man, and we spent a couple weeks, man, looking at the warnings toward the end here of this Acts, the warnings that went out to Paul about how he should not go to Jerusalem, but that if he did, there was nothing but trouble and heartache and sorrow waiting for him there. And we spent some time, Raphael did on last Wednesday, then I did on Sunday evening, man, looking at the Apostle Paul's arrest and how he's brought before Felix. Man, chapter 25, chapter 26, he's taken before Festus and then King Agrippa. And he testifies over and over, each of these places, man, testifying of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, in chapter 26, the Apostle Paul appeals to Caesar. He says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, take me to Rome. So he appeals to Caesar, and man, this is what leads up to chapter 27, verse number 1, and that's where we'll pick up this evening. Chapter 27, verse number 1, and the passage, like every place else so far in our study in Acts, it really reads as a narrative, it reads as a story, and less as instruction. So what I want to do is I want to kind of give you the idea of the story, and then we'll come back and we'll get the instruction in the end. So we'll start verse number 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into the ship, into a ship of Adirantium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day, we touched Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because of the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra unto the city of Lycia. And there the centurion, Julius, found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us on therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and the ship, but also of our lives. And nevertheless, the centurion, so the man named in verse number one, so nevertheless, Julius believed the master and the owner of the ship more than You see that phrase? Nevertheless, Julius believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part. So Julius believes the master of the ship, verse number 12, Julius believes, the vast majority, the more part advised, the vast majority advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain Phoenix, and there to winter, which was in a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, listen to the words, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look at verse now number 24. Paul's saying, fear not. Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, this is Paul talking to those on the boat. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. Jump down now. Verse number 29. And then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast out four anchors of the stern and wished for the day. They lost hope. They wished for the day. They just, can this just end? Get this over as quickly as possible. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast out, they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion, Paul said to Julius, the man in verse number one. And so Paul says to Julius and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And jump down now, verse number 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves to the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken by the violence of the waves. And go down now, verse number 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Use it in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. They board the boat. They set sail. They end up in the center of a storm, and the boat is beaten to pieces. In fact, it is literally ripped apart. We skipped around there at the end of that chapter, but you can literally read this, and you can just close your eyes, listen to a reading of it, and you can put yourself in the scene as wave after wave just beat this boat and literally tear it to pieces. And the only thing left, verse number 40, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. This is all that is left. Boards and broken pieces. Boards and broken pieces. Life has been compared to a journey that we all must take. It has been said that life is a journey that we all have to set sail on. And certainly, like they did in the chapter, we all have these dreams of these delightful destinations or these casual cruises as we successfully make our way into the harbor. We all have visions of what the voyage of our life will be like and what the voyage of our life will look like. But when and where we set sail, man, the decisions that we all make when we set sail, man, sometimes that changes the journey. And how many people have we seen that have set sail on a voyage only to have their family ripped apart on the trip? Or to have their ministry made a mess? Or to find their home in the middle of a storm? And here's this simple idea tonight. How to survive a storm? How to survive a storm? And we're going to talk about storms. We have to talk about several things to begin with. I guess different kinds of storms are related to us in the Scripture. Four kinds, there are probably more, but I'll give you four this evening. And then there are Savior-planned storms. Savior-planned storms. You remember Jacob? How many remember Jacob in the Old Testament? Man, Jacob, he kept running and running because he was a deceiver, because he was a manipulator, because he was a liar. And do you remember how Jacob came to a halt? Do you remember how it was that Jacob came about where he stopped running when God crippled his thigh? When he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, man, it was a Savior-planned storm. It was a Savior-planned moment. It was God who did that to Jacob that caused Jacob to stop running. And Jacob went, man, running and running. God brings this storm. He wrestles with Jacob all the night long. He touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And Jacob is a better person because of the storm than he was when he went into the storm. Jacob is a better person who comes out of the storm than he was as a person that went into the storm. Man, how about Joseph? We're talking about Savior-planned storms. How about Joseph? Remember Joseph? Man, remember Joseph, chapter number 50, verse number 20? Man, Joseph, who's been sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph, who's been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Joseph, who has been left in prison for 15, 17, 20 years maybe. Man, Joseph, who then finally becomes prime minister of Egypt. His brothers show up to town. Man, his brothers are begging for mercy from Joseph. And Joseph, chapter 50, verse 20, what you meant for evil, what does it say? And God meant it for good. A Savior-planned storm. Joseph said, God is the one who sent the storm. God is the one who brought this into my life. It was a Savior-planned storm. Man, kinds of storms, Savior-planned storms. Man, things that come into our life, man, as a direct result of what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. But there's another kind of storm. Man, the other kind of storm is satanic attack. Man, the storm of a satanic attack. You remember Job? Man, Job goes under the attack of Satan. Man, God opens his hand and allows Satan to come into Job's life. And Satan can do everything but touch Job. Do you remember that? You can do anything to Job, but you cannot touch Job. And boy, oh boy, did Satan do everything he could. I mean, he took it all the way to the wire. Man, he wrecked havoc in God's life, in Job's life. Peter even says this, 1 Peter chapter 5. Man, beware, because the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Man, there are Savior plan storms. There are satanic attack storms. Man, there are also just situational storms. Man, in the world, ye shall suffer persecution. Man, sometimes it's not, well, God must be teaching me something. Sometimes it's not, oh, the devil must be after me. Sometimes it's just because we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that is broken. We live in a world where things are not the way they should be. And this is not everything. This has to do with your health. This has to do with your relationships. This has to do with the economy. This has to do with politics. This has to do with our entertainments. Things are not the way they should be. And sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. Man, not because it's a satanic attack. Man, not because it's a sovereign divine plan from God. Not because, it's just because we live in a sinful world. We live in a broken world. We live in a cursed world where things are not the way they should be. Just because you got a flat tire on your way to work does not mean that the devil is after you. It might just mean you left the nails on the driveway, so you got a flat tire. Right? It may not always be. Sometimes it's just the situation that we find ourselves in. Man, we're forgetful people because we're sin-cursed people. We don't always remember to put the tools away. So I backed out over the nails and I got a flat tire. And no, Satan is definitely after me now. And you see how we can blow these things out of proportion one way or the other. Hey, listen, some storms, they're Savior plan storms. Some storms, some trials or suffering or hardships we go through, man, they're satanic attacks. Some storms, some difficulties are simply situational. In the world, you shall suffer persecution. Man, in the world, you will face tribulation. It's because the world is not the way it is supposed to be. Man, but there's another kind of storm. This is the last one. The last one that I'll give you. Self-inflicted storms. Man, do you remember what God told Jonah? Man, God shows up to Jonah and says, Jonah, I have a message I want you to deliver to Nineveh. Man, your arch enemy. I have a message I want you to give to Nineveh. Go down to Nineveh and tell them if they don't repent, it'll be 30 days and I'm gonna wipe them off the face of the planet. Man, and Noah and Jonah, man, instead of going the direction of Nineveh, Jonah finds the first boat in the opposite direction. And what does Jonah find himself in? He finds himself in a storm. He finds himself in a storm. Man, he finds himself in a storm. Why? Because it was a satanic attack? Man, he finds himself in a storm because it was a situational storm? He finds himself in a storm because this was a Savior planned storm? No, he finds himself in the middle of a storm because he is running in the opposite direction of where God has told him to go. The only person to blame for the storm is Jonah himself. And Jonah got himself in the storm. Right? This is indicating the storm comes and then they cast lots. The lot falls on Jonah. Jonah says, yeah, it's me. Instead of saying, turn around and go back, he says, just throw me over. Thinking that if he just throw, then I'll just die. Better to die than to go preach the gospel in Nineveh. Then they grab him, they throw him in the water, the storm stops. The storm stops. Man, it's a self-inflicted storm. Man, some Savior plan storms, some satanic attack storms, some situational storms, some self-inflicted storms. Let me give you a better example of these self-inflicted storms. Man, some storms that we face in our life financially is because we overspend. That's not God, that's you and your credit card. That's not God, that's you and you can't balance your budget. And that's not God. That's just poor spending, bad planning. Man, that's just racking it up on the credit card going, oh my goodness, I'm in the middle of a financial storm. Why? Because you got 3 credit cards maxed out. That's why. Man, that's a self-inflicted storm. Man, how many of you would understand somebody who lives a promiscuous lifestyle, man, they get a self-inflicted storm of a sexually transmitted disease or whatever it may be. Man, that's a self-inflicted storm. Man, somebody who just goes after alcohol and after drugs and after alcohol and after drugs, and then they end up with cirrhosis of the liver. Hey, this is a self-inflicted storm. And that's not a Savior plan storm, not a situational storm. This is the consequences of the decisions that you've made in life. Man, God's not angry at you. God's not mad at you about it. But this is a self-inflicted storm. You didn't take care of the credit cards. You didn't take care of your body. You lived promiscuously. This is certainly what's going to happen when you go after the devil and go after the world in that way. It's not an attack. This is just a self-inflicted storm. Man, self-inflicted storms, situational storms, satanic attack storms, Savior plan storms. Sometimes the storms that we face in life, they come not from one individual source, but sometimes they come from multiple sources. And sometimes it's not one or the other. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's all four. You remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? How many of you remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? And the Apostle Paul says about the thorn in the flesh, he's writing about this storm that he has, this trial, this suffering that he's going through. He writes about it, and he says, this thorn in the flesh is a messenger of Satan to buffet my body. This thorn in my flesh is a satanic attack against me. It's a satanic attack storm. But later on, the Apostle Paul, writing about that same thorn in the flesh, says that he has this thorn in the flesh, lest I be lifted above measure, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Man, what does he say? He says, the thorn in the flesh was given to me to keep me humble, to keep me from being arrogant or proud. Satan certainly did not give Paul a thorn in the flesh from trying to keep him humble. No, certainly Satan would have loved for Paul to be arrogant or proud, but God allowed the thorn to keep Paul humble. Satan used the thorn as a way to buffet Paul's body. Hey, listen. Sometimes it's one source, sometimes it's multiple sources, but no matter where the storm in your life is coming from tonight, God works all things together for good. No matter where the storm in your life is coming from tonight, God works all things together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Hey, listen, cancer wasn't good, but God will work it for good into your life. That divorce was not good, but God will work it for good into your life. He will work it down, weave it in, work it out like that. Just working out that sore bruise in the back. Just work it for good into your life. It was not good, but God will use it for your good. It was not good, but God will use it for good. Man, sometimes the storms that we face are Savior plan. Sometimes the storms we face are satanic attacks. Sometimes the storms we face are situations that we find ourselves. Sometimes the storms we face are self-inflicted. But can I tell you this? Storms and where they come from, the source of the storm is not nearly as important as how we respond to the storm. The source of the storm is not nearly as important than how we respond, to the storm. Man, Chuck Swindoll said it this way, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. It's 10% what happens and 90% your attitude toward what has just happened to you. So looking at the storm, three things in Acts 27, we'll move fast, three things. Number one, the reason for. The reason for the storm. Man, three reasons. Reasons for the storm. Number one, they took the wrong counsel. Look at verse number 10. Man, and they said unto them, sirs, Paul says, sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Man, Paul said, listen, I don't think we should go. It's way past the fast season. And that's a reference to that season, to that time. Man, it's coming into the rainy season. That's like what Paul's saying. It's coming into the rainy season. This is not a good time to be on the Mediterranean. This is not a good time to make that journey. It's the rainy season. It's well past the fast. We should not be on open water. And he's like, But sir, I'm looking at the weather and the calendar, and I don't think it's a good time for us to be on the water. But look at this, verse number 11. Nevertheless, Julius, man, that centurion from verse number 1, man, Julius believed the master and the owner of the ship more than. Man, he believed the master of the ship more than those things which were spoken to them by God. Listen, Paul had connected the dots, but listen, the centurion, Julius put his confidence in worldly wisdom. Julius put his confidence in the wrong counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the not godly. That's what that means. Man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the wisdom, the advice of those that are not godly, not God-like, not living like God would ask them to live. Man, his wisdom, man, their wisdom that ascendeth from above is first pure and peaceable. Man, but ye with bitter envy and strife in your hearts. And that is not a wisdom that is that descendeth from above. Man, the wisdom that's cantankerous and angry and cranky and grumpy, and you don't do it my way. You're not, dude, that's not a wisdom that descends from above. Man, the reason for the storm, they took the wrong counsel. Man, write this down. Adrian Rogers said it this way. They listened to the master of the ship more than the maker of the sea. They listened to the master of the ship more than they did to the maker of the sea. It was a self-inflicted storm. Why? Because they took the wrong counsel. Man, the reason for the storm, they took the wrong counsel. The reason for the storm, they trusted in the wrong consensus. Man, not only did they listen to ungodly counsel, but they took the majority opinion. Look at verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised. Man, the majority voted. The majority said to depart thence also if by any means. Man, this is listen, let's all take a vote. Man, Paul says we should stay. The master of the ship says we should go. Hey, listen, I think we should go with the master of the ship, but let's take a vote. And the majority of the people on the ship voted that they should go. And wouldn't you know it, the majority was wrong. Surprise, surprise, the majority is wrong. Man, they voted on it. They voted if they should set sail or stay put. And they set sail and they were wrong. Man, the leadership, they ignored the leadership that God had placed in their life. They ignored the word of God that was delivered to Paul. They ignored it. And listen, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. But a lot of times in the Bible, the majority is wrong. Do you remember? Remember in the Old Testament when they voted if they should believe that there was a coming flood or if they should ignore the fact that God said there was a coming flood and they should just go on about their lives. Do you remember they voted and they said, should we build boats or should we just keep about our own selves doing our own thing? And how many were spared? Man, Peter tells us, man, and 8 were spared and the rest of the planet was lost. Man, the majority voted. And the majority was wrong. The majority voted, we're not going to build boats. We're just going to keep going about our regular lives. Man, the majority voted and the majority was wrong. Man, how about the 12 spies who went in to spy out Canaan land? You remember them? You remember the song? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 10 were bad and 2 were good. I can even do the little hand gestures, right? Man, they voted who was right. Man, the 10 came back. Man, the cities are walled to the sky. It's the land of giants. And the Bible says that 10 men discouraged the heart of 1.5 million, maybe 2 million Jews. 10 men discouraged the heart of over a million Jews so that they made the wrong decision. Majority voted, and we said, we're not going in. And they were all lost. The entire generation was lost. Man, only 2. Man, only 2 went in. Man, the reason for the storm, they took the wrong counsel. The reason for the storm, they trusted in the wrong consensus. Man, the reason for the storm, they tested the wrong criteria. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Man, thinking that they got away with it. Man, thinking that they were going to be all right. Assuming that it was smooth sailing. Man, supposing they had obtained their purpose. They loosed and they sailed. Man, verse 14, but not long after. Man, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Man, not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind. Man, it seems like the wind is taking us this way. Man, listen, what did they do? They tested the wrong criteria. All the circumstances in their life were leading them, pointing them this way. So they decided to go with the flow. They decided to go with the circumstances. They decided to be blown about with every wind of doctrine, going this way, going that way. Everybody says, this person said, I have a friend that did. Man, going about every which way, man, they tested it with the wrong criteria. Man, how many times do we do this in our own lives? Should I tithe or should I not tithe? Man, should I give or should I not give? Man, should I be a part of this church or should I not be a part of this church? I mean, I got a friend who's a part of that one and another friend's a part of this one, and I just don't know. Man, wrong criteria. Man, should I get involved or should I just sit back and wait and see what 2018 is really all about? Or should I decide to just jump in, be a part? Man, serve the family of God. Be a part of the family of God by showing up, being active, being faithful, connection group, giving, serving, loving, going. Man, should I do that or should I just stay back and, you know, watch and make sure the criteria supports? Supposing they had obtained their purpose, they loosed. Man, they tested it with the wrong criteria. Man, they tested with the wrong criteria. They trusted the wrong consensus. They took the wrong counsel. Man, the reason for the storm, what was the reason for the storm? Man, a self-inflicted storm. They took the wrong counsel. They trusted the wrong consensus. Man, they tested the wrong criteria. But notice number two, their response in. Their response in. Man, the reason for, number two, the response in. Look at the response in the storm. See, what you do in the middle of the storm, what you do in the middle of the mess, what you do in the middle of the worst day of your life has everything to do with whether you will survive or not. Look what they did. Man, number one, they drifted with the circumstance. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and we could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Anytime you let her drive, you have a problem. That's in there in the text someplace. My wife is out of town and is till Friday, so I can get away with that saying. Man, a lot of times the storm is swirling and people will just decide that they're just going to drift, that they're going to take a little time off, the current's going to take them this way or that way. Man, the listen, if you're in the middle of a storm, this is no time to drift. If you're in the middle of a storm, it's time to be proactive. It's time to be intentional. It's time to be aggressive about following God. Man, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Sometimes, listen, sometimes we sail with the wind. Sometimes we sail against the wind, but we must always sail. We must always be moving, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so much as your labor is not in vain. Now listen, your labor is not in vain when we're doing what? When we're moving forward, pressing on, driving, intentionality, purpose, aggressive, man, being proactive in our service and serving God. Man, here they are, the response in, they drifted in. Number two, they discarded what was critical. Look at verse 18, verse 19. Man, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest. Man, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands, with our own hands, the tackling of the ship. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest landed, man, it didn't let up at all. It stayed right on top of them. The storm didn't let up, but what did they throw out? Listen, the storm didn't let up, but what did they throw out? The tackling, the rigging, the things that were necessary in order to sail. What did they get rid of? They got rid of the things that were necessary to make a smooth, safe journey. Man, sometimes in the middle of the storm, people stop reading their Bibles, people stop going to church, people stop praying, people ignore God's call. They discard, they throw out what is most critical. If there's ever a time to do more for God and good, it is in the middle of a storm. They discarded what was critical. Hey, listen, they despaired and they lost courage. Their response in. Their response in, look at verse 20. And then when neither the sun nor the stars and many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, man, all hope. Man, what a sad position. Man, all hope that we should be saved was then, look at the word, taken. I mean, it was taken away. It was robbed. It was ripped out of our hands. All hope that we should make it was torn out of our hands. We had no hope. Hey, listen, friend. As long as Jesus is Lord and Savior, you have hope. Doesn't matter what happens politically. Doesn't matter what happens relationally. Doesn't matter what happens financially. Doesn't matter what happens locally. Doesn't matter what doesn't. As long as Jesus is Lord and Savior, we have hope. He is the blessed hope. It's important to remember that. It's important to remember that on the worst day of your life, it's important to remember that God is not surprised at all. And the day you get the worst news of all the news that you could possibly, the day you get the worst news, it's important to remember that God is not, man, they gave up hope, they quit trying, they became victims of their circumstances, and that caused them to lose hope. As long as you play the victim, you will never successfully sail to Rome. As long as you play the victim, you will never successfully sail to Rome. Man, their response in the storm, man, they drifted, they discarded, they despaired. Man, the reason for, took the wrong counsel, trusted the wrong consensus. Man, they tried the wrong criteria. Last one, man, how Paul was ready. Man, ready in. Paul was ready in the storm. Man, look at verse number 21. Man, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you." Listen, man, after a long absence, listen, Paul did not immediately stand up and go, "See, I told you so." Paul didn't do that. That's how I know he wasn't a Baptist. No, after a long absence, after he took some time to think about it, after he took some time to come up with a strategy for the future, after he found a solution, man, after a long absence, man, we could learn a lot there. Man, after this long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me and hearkened unto me. But look, nevertheless, I'm not going to let you go. Verse 22, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer." Hey, you should have listened, but you did it. But listen, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose the ship. Man, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Hey, Paul, you're going to make it to Caesar, but it's by way of storm. Hey, Paul, you're going to go see Caesar. I will get you to your destination, but that destination includes a storm. The destination includes a storm. Man, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe, verse 25, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. Man, how was Paul ready for the storm? Three things. We're done. Number one, he recognized the presence of God. He recognized the presence of God. Verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. Man, the same angel stopped him on Damascus Road. The angel of the Lord. Man, everyone else is panicking, worrying, stressing. Paul is recognizing the presence of God. Hear me. I'd rather be in the storm with God than have great weather without God. I would rather, let's make it a little more personal. I would rather have financial hardships with God than be financially prosperous all by myself. Let's make that a little more personal. I would rather have sickness and disease with God than be healthy without Him. I would rather go into the fiery furnace so that everyone outside the furnace looks in and says, "Hey, there's a fourth man. Didn't we throw three in? There's a fourth man who has the image of the Son." I'd rather be in the fiery furnace with God than outside of the furnace looking in. Man, I'd rather be in the storm with God than have great weather without Him. Man, the psalmist David said the same thing. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thou art with me. Man, the presence. They recognize the presence of God. Even in the valley. I'd rather take the valley of the shadow of death than jump on the mountains of life. Why? Because the presence of God goes with me. Hear me, believer. Everywhere you go, God goes. Everywhere you go, God goes. In the middle of that doctor's office, hey, God's there. Man, when you open that red colored envelope, hey, God's there. When you get that note in your, I was going to say your box, but they don't put notes in boxes anymore, do they? When you get that email that says the company's cutting back, hey, God is there. Man, recognize the presence of God. Number two, remember the providence of God. Verse 24, man, fear not, Paul. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Listen, God has never lost control, not even for the slightest second. God has never lost control, not even for the slightest second. This is, to me, this is one of the most awe-inspiring things about who God is, what God does. Think of how little control we really have. Think of all the control God has. Man, remember the providence of God. And last one, relax and rest in the promise of God. Man, relax and rest in the promise of God. Paul says, listen, I'm just going to be of good cheer. Relax. I'm going to be of good cheer, and I'm going to choose to believe God that it shall be even as, verse 25, that it shall be even as it was told to me. Man, he rested in God's word. God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't really matter how bad it gets. Doesn't really matter how strong the waves are. Doesn't really matter how great the storm is. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, one of the problems we have with storms is that we think that this life should be smooth sailing. We think that this life owes us smooth sailing. We think that this life should be smooth sailing and comfortable all along the way. Man, we even long for it. Paul doesn't long for what's good or comfortable. Paul longs for God to have glory. And if Paul, sinking in the middle of the Mediterranean, dying right there in chapter 27, would have brought God glory, you know what Paul would have said? I can rest with that. I'm okay with that. Man, whether by life or by death, that Christ might be magnified in my body. Man, whether I live or die, I just want Christ to be magnified in my body. Man, not what's good, not what's comfortable. What brings God the glory? Not what's good, not what's comfortable. But what brings God the glory? Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we ask that you would, Father, use your word in our hearts and our lives this evening. Father, thank you for just the timeliness of a sermon like this. Father, there were so many facing sickness and health issues. Father, even the beginning of the year, and Father, many facing financial problems or worries. Father, I pray, Father, you would help us to respond the correct way in the storm so that we can survive the storm. Father, may we remember you've never lost control, not even for a second. Father, may we remember that no matter where we go or where the storm takes us, Father, you go with us all along the way. Father, thank you that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. Man, even when friend and family, father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, even when they have forsaken, you have never forsaken. Father, I pray that you might teach us this year how we might survive the storm. May we trust in you. May we follow you. May we look to you. And when we face the storms of this life, may we not pull back, do less. May we always abound, always move forward, that you might get the honor and the glory from it all. And in your son's name we pray. The piano's going to begin to